turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, the Lord our God has a gracious way of teaching us to know how frail we are. And it is a blessing of his grace that he does so, isn't it? We need to be reminded of how frail we are physically and mentally and spiritually, and how utterly dependent we are upon God for all things. And Psalm 46 is a great encouragement to place all our hope and all our trust in God, in his power and in his providence. So let's begin reading from verse 1, and I'll make some brief comments along the way. To the chief musician, for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. This psalm, like so many psalms, is a song. It's a song of the church. It's a song that sings of the confidence of God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. What a remarkable thing to be able to say. God is our refuge. God has given his people a place of refuge. God himself is our refuge. Hidden in Christ, in the covenant of grace before the world began. That's the covenant that Angus was just speaking of. He hid us in that covenant, hid us in Christ. Christ is the mediator of that covenant. And God himself is our refuge. God is our strength. The scripture says it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's God's work. Any motivation we have for the things of God, and ultimately this traces back to his work in us. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he is our strength. He is our very present help in trouble, ever present with his church. He never sleeps nor slumbers, and he cares for all his people all the times in ways beyond our understanding. He is a very present help in trouble. In Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord says, the psalmist says, the Lord is on my side. I will fear not. What can man do unto me? Now, believers have every reason to be confident in the ability of their God. If God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 2, we have that word, therefore, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, because God is our very present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Pause and contemplate these things. This world is a troubling place, and we're guaranteed, aren't we, troubles. We're guaranteed troubles in this life. All our earthly props will eventually fail and fall away, every single one of them. And the foundations of our life are often shaken. And then we're reminded, aren't we, of our frailty. Yet such things are used by our God to increase our reliance on him, to drive us back to him. I love that scripture from 1 Peter 5. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast all your care upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because he cares. He does care. Listen to what the Lord promises his people through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 41. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Verse 4 of our psalm says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The Lord Jesus said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. In John we read, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Lord Jesus is called the fountain opened in Zechariah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. He is that stream of living water that makes the church of God glad. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. What wonderful promises from our God. He has promised to be with his people. In Matthew 18, we read, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's the promise of God concerning the gathering of his people. There he is in the midst of her, in the church. Do you realise that every time we meet here, the Lord Jesus Christ is here? That's his promise to us, and that's why we meet here. We come to hear his words, and we come to see him with spiritual eyes. May he grant us that. And God's people want to be where he is, where his gospel is preached, and where God's people meet together. There he is also. And she shall not be moved. No believer will be moved from the gospel. If a man can be moved from the gospel, he's not a believer. Believers cannot be plucked from the hands of Christ. They cannot be removed from the covenant of grace. She shall not be moved. Because God shall help her, and that right early. Verse 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The unbelieving have always raged against God. But the scripture says, even the wrath of man shall praise thee. Do you think God is troubled by these things? Do you think God is troubled when this world rages against him and his gospel and his Christ? A mere word from God and it's done. He speaks and things are. It's impossible, isn't it, for his will not to be done. It's impossible. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Jacob I have loved. Esau have I hated. Jacob was a deceiver and a swindler, a sinful man. How is it that God loved Jacob? Well, he loved Jacob in the same way he loves us. God's people know they know better than Jacob, but they know they're saved by grace. God of Jacob is our God by the same mechanism of grace. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. His works of providence, his works in our salvation. Believers know that salvation is entirely the work of the Lord. He does the saving, and he does it all by himself, and he doesn't need any help from us. And in doing so, he gets all the glory. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. The Old Testament scriptures have many records of the Lord's victories over the heathen, against the enemies of his people. But these things are emblematic of the victories of our Lord Jesus Christ and his great work of redemption. In Isaiah 40, we have a word of comfort from our God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. We were once alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works, but now hath he reconciled us. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. He took it away, and he nailed it to his cross, and he made peace for us through the blood of his cross. He destroyed the works of the devil. The Lord Jesus has made our warfare to cease. Our warfare to cease. Our God and Saviour did it all. And so our next verse is so appropriate, isn't it? Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. What a contrast that is to a world where people always seem to be so, so busy. It seems to me that this exhortation to be still is opposite of what much of modern religion is these days, which seems to be more about what the sinner can do for Christ instead of what Christ has done for the sinner. We do what must be done, don't we? We do what's necessary in order to then for us to be still. We try to make the meetings we have here, meetings of the brethren, as simple and as uncomplicated as we possibly can. And then we come and sit. We sit still and we contemplate the wonderful works of God, peaceful and settled in our God, because he's God. He's done it all, and we get to enjoy the fruits of his mighty work. But our flesh, isn't it? Our flesh is programmed, I believe, for activity. It's programmed for works. You recall that when the Lord went to Martha's house to abide there a while, that Martha was cumbered about. She was running around tending to everything while her sister Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And she went and complained to the Lord, didn't she? And she said that she should get up and help her. And Jesus answered her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Be still and know that I am God. This is the one needful thing. We have nothing to murmur about. We raise no objections with God. We still our mouths and we stay our hands and we still our hearts before him. Perhaps, I thought, for some, God must take us to a place of utter hopelessness in order for us to be still. Of course, we know that story of Pharaoh and the Egyptian army that pursued the Israelites to the sea, and there was absolutely nowhere for them to escape. And what did Moses say unto the people? He said, fear not, stand still. Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Israelites had nowhere to run, they had nowhere to hide, they had nowhere to go. And they couldn't do anything except be still and witness the glory of God in their salvation. And what did God do? Well, God does what he always does. He does wonderful things. He did the impossible. He opened that sea before them. Impossible for men to contemplate these things, isn't it? The most dire circumstances of our lives are in the Lord's capable hands. And when we think things are impossible, everything's possible with the Lord. When we have no power, when we have no power to anything, to do anything, we have no alternative but to trust him. Whatever the outcome, whatever he decides, but whatever he decides is right, isn't it? Because he always does what's best for his people. He always does what is right, and always what he does is good for us. And therein, our God gets all the glory, doesn't he? His name is exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Know that if he doesn't save us, then we won't be saved. But he's willing, isn't he? He's willing and he's able to the utmost, able to save. And he calms his people in the exercise of his might. I just love those miracles. I love the glorious works of our Lord. These are things which should inspire our confidence. I love to read those things. I'm reminded of that time when the Lord Jesus and his disciples went out in that little ship. And there came a great storm, and the Lord, you remember, was in the hinder part of the ship. What was he doing? He was asleep on a pillow. And the disciples went and woke him up and said, "Master, Master, don't you care that we perish?" And he arose and he rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Be calm, be still, and know that I am God. And if we know that he controls and rules all things, then we rest in that, don't we? We rest in that. Be still. There is a rest involved here. There is a rest for the people of God. We rest in the knowledge that he is good. We rest in the knowledge. He is our rest. He is the cause of our stillness. He is the reason for the calm. The Lord Jesus Christ calmed the wrath of God against our sins. What an amazing work our Lord did. Believers ought to be the calmest people on the face of this planet. And we cease from those works, don't we? We cease from dead works which have no merit, and we rest in the finished work of God, our Redeemer, whose works are accepted of God. The scripture bids us to enter into his rest. He that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And I love, finally, that story of the demoniac. You remember the Lord went across the sea, and that demoniac was there running around the cemetery with no clothes on, completely out of his mind, and no one could restrain him. He was filled with devils, and you recall the Lord cast those devils out, and they entered the swine, and the swine ran down the hill into that lake, and they drowned. And then the men who were tending to the swine came to inquire what had happened. And when they went out to see what was done, they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. What did they find? They found the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Is that not what we are doing right now? Sitting at his feet, clothed with his righteousness, and in our right mind, our most lucid thoughts are when our thoughts are on him. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, won't they, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Be still and know that I am God, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. May these words be a blessing to us.